We are going to read in James 5, verses 13 through 18, which you can find on page 1885. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let us bless the reading of this word.
Thank you, Meryl.
All right. Prayer posture, what is it? Well, clicker, let's work. Oh, it works best in the ON position. If you aren't praying for the members of your family, who is? The first time that I read this a couple weeks ago, preparing for the small group that was led last week, it's from the book Listen, Love, and Repeat that we're studying in the small groups. The first thing that came to my mind was that teacher of the law that asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? Because Jesus tends to reframe things for people. When he was asked who's our neighbor, he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus asked the same question I had, who's my family, in Scripture also. In Matthew 12, Jesus was with his disciples and somebody came in and said, hey Jesus, your mom and your brothers are out there and they want to see you. And Jesus looked at the person and said, who is my mother and my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, and we're going to talk about the will of God in the sermon, is my brother and sister and mother. So when I look at this, and I look here, and I look here, I see family. I know that it's not a coincidence that the last few times I've come and done the greeting and the handshaking stuff in the morning, I said, hello, family. It was in preparation for this passage, I think. God put it on my heart to say, we're a family. And the reason I know that we are a family is because we grieve together. Many of us were at Jean's funeral last week. We celebrate together. Many of us were at Charmaine's birthday party. We are a family. And when we lost family members during the discernment process, we grieved that. And that's okay. We grieved together. But here's the wonderful thing that I put into perspective. A number of years ago, I sent my son, Bray, many of you know him, I sent him off to college. What I didn't realize at that time, because he was the first one I'd sent off to college, a lot of you have probably been through this, once they go to college, they're not really in your life much anymore unless they need money. But the point is, they go off and they start their own life. And they do great things in their own life. And you go on in your life, and we do this. It doesn't mean either life stops. And that's what happened to our friends and family members that went to other churches. Some because we weren't fast enough making a decision. Some because we made a decision. Regardless of the reason they've gone, we grieved, but we're coming together as a family here to get through that process. And the way to get through that process is to know that God has used all of those folks that left this congregation, and he's put them in other congregations, and he's blessing those congregations with the people that he sent out. None of this is by accident, folks. None of it. We are family. And the way you can tell is, I bet you, let's do a show of hands. Who has come to this church for more than 30 years? If you've been here more than 30 years, how many of you have been 40 years? Anybody 50 years? When you come to a place every Sunday, and many days in between Sundays for small groups and for meetings and for whatever it is that you're doing in the life of the church, for 50 years, you can't tell me that's not a bond that is familial in nature. We are family. So I ask you again, if you're not praying for your family, who is? The passage that we read today says if someone's hurting, they should pray. If someone's joyful, they should praise. If someone is sick, we should bring the elders in. I'm going to take that into the context of today's sermon and say, if someone is hurting, we should pray. If someone is joyful, we should praise. If someone is ill, we should be getting the elders out there and putting the hands on them, putting oil on their head and praying for them. We should be confessing our sins to each other, just like the scripture said, because when we do that, we get that healing of the spirit that comes with confession. At the end of the passage, it said that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful. When we come together in prayer together, and we're doing it for God's will, it's powerful. It's righteous. Now, oops, come on, back up. I never want to teach without taking something you can put in your hip pocket and go home with. Because other than being inspiring, which I hope the Holy Spirit does for you today, inspire you with this sermon, you should know that there's over 650 prayers in Scripture. If you read one prayer a day in Scripture, it would take you almost 2 years to get through every prayer that's in the Bible. The word pray, praying, prayer, some derivative of that word is used more than 300 times in the King James Version of Scripture. So the Bible talks about prayer. When God, and we all agree this is God's word, right? When God says something one time, we should probably listen. When he says it two times, it's probably important. When he says it over 300 times, we'd better stand up and take notice. Prayer is an important part of our life, our family life. More statistics on prayer. 55% of Americans say they pray every day. That's pretty good. Women, you pray 64% of you pray every day. Men, only 46%. Men, you got some work to do. Because praying for your family is everybody's job. It's not just your job or your job or my job. It's everybody's job. Here's the one that really got me. Down in the corner, it may be too small to see for some of you, 20% of people that are non-affiliated with religion at all say they pray every day. I don't know who they're praying to. I don't know what they're praying for. But it tells me very clearly that there is an innate need deep-seated in humanity that we need to tell somebody in authority what we want, what we need, what our desires are, who we want healed, what we want to happen in our lives. There is this need inside of each of us to talk to our Creator. You probably all heard that phrase that there's a God-sized handprint on our hearts that can only be filled by God, right? Prayer is one of the links to that. We pray because we need to build a relationship with God. How often should we pray? Paul's pretty clear. He says in Corinthians, I give thanks to my God in yellow. Say it.
Always.
Ephesians, he says, praying at
all
in the Spirit. Thessalonians, pray.
Always.
What? Really, Paul? Really? For those of you who don't know, this is Goofy's son, Max. My kids grew up watching these Goofy cartoons, so I'm familiar with Max. So does Paul really want us to pray without ceasing? No, not really. What Paul wants from us is one thing very important. He wants us to be able to say, I'm ready. I am ready to pray for Linda. I'm ready to pray for Ed. I'm ready to pray for Don. I'm ready to pray when the ambulance goes by for the people that are in the back of the ambulance, for the first responders. I'm ready to pray for our government. I'm ready to pray for my brother or sister if they have need. I'm ready. That's what Paul wants. He wants us to get a prayer posture. Has anybody ever watched a football game? Do the linemen stand up like this? No. They get down in their posture, their position, till they can effectively do what they need to do. Right? Have you ever seen a fireman hold a hose, I don't know, like this? No, they brace themselves. They're in the correct posture to do the job correctly. When we are praying, we want to have the proper prayer posture so that at the drop of a hat, we can pray for our family. How many of you, show of hands, since the beginning of the year, we'll do this since it's a New Year's kind of thing. Since the beginning of the year, how many of you have told somebody that you'll pray for them? Show of hands. Okay, that's great. That is great. But I'm telling you, that's only part of what we should be doing. That's sort of the slow lane of faith when we say we're going to pray for somebody. I'll tell you why. Because if you're anything like me, you go home after saying you're going to pray for somebody, and life starts happening. My favorite television show's on. I have to look at PIFs for the PNC. I have to take care of something that Evelyn needs, or my other daughter, or Bray, or somebody is going to distract me. You ever been distracted when you pray? You start going, God, oh, what was I going to say? We get distracted sometimes. So how much more powerful would it be instead of saying, Don, I'm going to pray for you, than for me to say, Don, would you mind if we prayed right now? And take the 2 minutes it takes at that moment to pray. That's powerful. It does a couple things. Not only does it prevent you from forgetting to do it, but it also shows the person that you're praying for how much value they have, not only to you, but to God. It affirms for that person that they are important. Does that make sense? So I would love it if we could commit as a congregation to stop saying, I'll pray for you, and start saying, would you mind if I prayed with you? That would be a great step towards this affirmation process that we are brothers and sisters and we care about each other crazily. Who's ever heard about the prayer vending machine? Many Christian organizations today, and I'm not going to say they're wrong, because anybody that knows me knows I won't say something is wrong, because I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to say you're wrong and I'm right, because I don't know all the answers. But I'm going to say that the prosperity gospel that you hear preached in a lot of mega churches doesn't fit in with my understanding of Scripture. I'm not going to say it's wrong, because they do use Scripture to support their belief that God will provide in prayer, from prayer, all their needs. But when I read Scripture in context, I don't remember Jesus saying, give us this day our daily Porsche, or give us this day our heated swimming pool. What he said was, give us this day our daily bread. And I have to take this next verse in context when I look at the prosperity gospel. And they use good scripture. You know, ask and it shall be given to you. If two people get together in God's name and they agree on something, God will hear them in heaven. That's good scripture, but you have to look at this passage too. This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. What's God's will? God's ultimate goal is to reconcile everybody to himself. In fact, Scripture says everything to himself. That means the podium, maybe. I don't know. Everything. God wants everything, everybody to be reconciled to him. So if we pray in a manner which is in his will, if we pray for things that help build his kingdom, if we pray for things that make us better Christians and better people in his eyes, those kinds of things he'll grease the skids on. Now, I want to show you a video here. This is a video clip from the movie War Room. Who's seen War Room? It's about prayer. If you've seen the movie War Room, you're going to recognize this clip. If you haven't seen this clip before, you're going to want to watch the movie. The lady in this clip, she knows how to pray. Come on. There we go. Can you guys hear that okay? All right. There's a little buzz, but it is what it is. Now look, she's picking up a Bible. She's not going to prayer empty-handed. She's got a tangible link to God. Now, you don't have to have a Bible when you pray, but couldn't hurt. She converted a closet in her house into her war room. It's a prayer room. And I want you to see what she's got on the walls. She's got pictures of people. She's got lists of prayer requests. She's not going in without a plan.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful.
Can I sit next to you?
And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm. And will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
I can't watch that clip without getting choked up. I've watched it 30 times this week, just in preparation. And every time, the power of that prayer just, it gets to me. Now, she didn't go into that prayer unprepared. I told you she had lists. She had names on the wall. She had things in her room. But she went in with a plan, too. This is just one mnemonic that's used to talk about the different parts of prayer. Acts is the one I remember easily because the Acts of the Apostle. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication. She went in there with all of these things. You heard her. She gave God credit for who he is. You are powerful. You are mighty, Lord. She gave him credit. She confessed that he kept providing for her even though she wasn't worthy. She admitted her brokenness to God. Then she thanked him for the things he'd done. And then she went into this long list of supplication questions, asks of God. And did you notice they were all within God's will to increase the kingdom, to make the kingdom a bigger, better place in the world, to bring people to God. All of this was in God's will. She was not praying for anything that wasn't. So when we pray things in God's will, he greases the skids. Anybody here read our mission statement? Who's read our mission statement? Love God, love people, serve. That's our mission in this church, to love God, love people, serve. If we're going to pray into this mission statement, if we're going to say, Lord, build us up, encourage us to go out into the community, help us make this place a community hub where people will come to see your light. Lord, help us to go out. Give us the courage, give us the wisdom, give us the words to make you famous in Concord. Go out of this place. Lord, help us to become a diverse place where people want to gather. Not just diverse in how we look, diverse in how we think, diverse in how we believe. That's okay, because God is bigger than all of that. Lord, help us to make the changes required in order for us to make this corner of God's kingdom an effective corner of it for the next 135 years. If you're sitting in the pews today thinking our glory days are behind us, I'm telling you, they may be. I can't say that we're going to have 1,000 people again, but we have glorious days ahead. If you believe we have glorious days ahead, give me an amen, because I believe it.
Amen.
I know I'm not a Pentecostal preacher, but sometimes amens are good, because we're praying. This is a collective prayer of our family. We want First Press Concord, or Casa del Dios, or the Iglesia Church, or City Blessings, or all of them combined, we want them all to make Christ famous in this corner of Concord. I don't know that the First Presbyterian Church Concord is going to be the 1,000-member church. Maybe it's going to be Casa del Dios. Maybe the community that's coming into the downtown Concord area is going to flock to this place because they're going to hear the Word of God preached. They're going to know that we love God, we love people, and we serve. So I ask you once again, if you're not praying for the members of your family, who is? Thank you.